TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 123, and I am Libby, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, Susie from Sherman Oaks.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Tom from Glendale.
And Allison from Tarzana.
All right, and we have another guest that may or may not join us as she arrives. So if you hear Kathy, we'll have her introduce herself when she gets here. Also, this time we're going to be on the serious timer. So we're only allotting, let's say, 4 minutes per show, regardless of how many episodes. Well, that's not true. Okay, if we have multiple episodes, we'll give it 6 minutes. So, but we wanted to be able to get through this thing. I know it's going to take probably a little bit over an hour, but we don't want to be incredibly over an hour. And we are going to skip the news this week, just so we can get into these shows. And I'm back. I have a suntan. Can't tell. I am exhausted and jet lagged, but I sat through a ridiculous amount of television and it all has blurred together to me in just one big blob. So we'll try to do this best we can. All right. First up, we are going to talk about Breaking Bad. And there were two episodes of Breaking Bad.
Yep.
And the first one was the birthday. So it was all about Walt's birthday. And we finally got to understand the first shot of the premiere, which was him doing the eggs and putting 5-3 on his eggs because he was like, oh, it's my birthday.
Yeah.
And it lets you also realize how much time has gone by because in that episode, he's 53, and in this episode,
51.
He's 51. So there's 2 years between now and the end. So he has quite a bit of time.
We also found out that everything we've seen has only been 1 year.
I know!
That was kind of amazing. Here. I forgot he had cancer even. You know, I'd be like, oh yeah, that wasn't like a million years ago. It was just recently.
Yeah, that is insane that much stuff happened in 1 year.
Yeah.
And he's like doing the toast. He's like, remember when we did this? I was like, you mean 2 seasons ago? Like, what? All that stuff. Yeah, the birthday, though, was really intense. Mm-hmm. Because he wants everyone to make a big deal about his birthday because it's kind of important to him. And I get that because everybody wants their birthday to be important. But his ego is just so
Well, and I think
crazy.
He was doing it as kind of like a mental power play with her, especially.
Right.
It was like forcing her to do that. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It's all about the mind games between the two of them.
Right. Yep.
And so, of course, we're moving into the, like, I guess, was it that episode where she jumps in the water?
Yeah, it was at his birthday party. It was, like, at the dinner.
Yeah, the swimming pool.
Yep.
Because I was like, what the heck is she doing back there?
I knew what she was planning
to
do.
Yeah, I could see her staring at the water. I was like, she's about to drown herself.
Yeah, she was just...
Well, no, she
wasn't. She was doing it as a ploy so that she could try and save her kids.
Right.
Yep.
She's doing it as a ploy, but the thing is, she's... How much is she really losing it? Because the previous episode, when she's just yelling shut up, like, repeatedly at her sister, it's like, okay, yes, I don't like Marie either, but you are starting to lose it, even though you think you're not.
Yeah.
Well, and I think she is, and I think that's kind of the point of this whole ploy with her in the pool and all, and trying to get some excuse to have the kids go away is because she really is at that breaking point. She can't stand him.
Right.
And she's just thinking she can't get herself out. And so how can she at least get her kids out? Because she's going mad. And so I think this was really her shot at trying to outmind him, get the kids away by doing this. And then as we find out during the next episode, he's all over that. And he's like, you think you can figure this one out? You know, you think you're more clever than me? This is what I can do. I'll do this, 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 and this.
Yeah,
and we'll
he's
take
always
the kids away. It's like,
he's always 5 steps ahead of everybody. And her thing was like, you know what? You're right. You're a bigger genius than I am. And I'm a coward. And I got nothing. I'm just going to wait. And he's like, wait for what?
Oh, my God.
And she's like,
cancer to come back.
Oh,
that was
That was a really powerful moment because that was what he really realized. She just wanted him to die.
Yeah. Well, that's all she could do. She realized she had no other way out unless she wanted to to basically admit that she was involved, you know, in the whole right. thing. And then what would happen to the kids, you know? So this was her only move. It was, wow.
I hope Anna Gunn wins the Emmy because it's such a tricky role. And before Libya left, I had season 5 and the pilot. And while Libya was away, I watched the whole series. Skylar's fat. I don't know what to make of her because sometimes I love her and sometimes I hate her. And it's such a tricky role for her to play, and she pulls it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I agree.
Well, let's move on to the second episode real quick, which is the big train heist.
Yep.
Wow.
And,
that was great. That was one of the best episodes of television I've seen in a long time, regardless yeah. of the show. Like, I thought it was amazing.
That was it was pretty awesome when we found out. But I was kind of like, okay, I'm on with it. It's good. But is there going to be anything exciting in this episode? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact that they weren't doing a cook, I just thought that this was a really different episode. They had the whole interrogation scene, and she's like, I'm not lying. And they all believe.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, she's like, well, I've got an idea. You can rob the train. He's like, yeah, we got to kill the people. She's like, you were going to kill me. What's two engineers matter?
We're professional.
Right? Yeah. She's so cold-blooded and crazy. I still think they're going to have to kill her.
She's going to get ganked.
Yeah.
She's a good new character. Like, she's really compelling. But yeah, I'm assuming she's going to die soon.
Yeah. But I mean, the whole train robbery was very exciting and very tense. And when they were like, you know, cut the lines, get out of there. And Walt was like, no, we need to get that exactly what we want. And it's just his ego again.
His perfection. It's
perfectional.
Like, God, you're going to get one of them killed.
And then it looks like they pulled it off. You're really excited. They're clapping their celebrities like, ooh, that was exciting. And then the kid that you forgot about from the teaser.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was so happy because when that happened, my reaction was, I can't believe that he just did that, you know, the hired guy. And then I was so glad to see Jesse's reaction because I'm like, I'm still in it for Jesse. He's still the heart of the show, really. It's like
he's the only one who has any integrity.
Any integrity or morals.
He's the only one who has a chance of redemption.
Exactly. Right. So I was really happy that it freaked him out. So I'm like, okay, good. I'm ready for the next episode.
And Walt didn't react at all.
No, because he's that's it.
And I'd like to say that poor Tarantula will be dead soon. He's in that poor glass bottle.
Yeah.
In the hot sun. He is going to be baked.
Much like Skylar or any other character that we care about that's trapped by Walt's.
Oh.
She's the Tarantula in the jar.
Yes. Yeah. Nice symmetry. All right. So
that was amazing. I can't say enough about it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
All right. So two thumbs up.
Yep.
All right, we got to keep on clocking.
Oh, yeah.
Next up is True Blood. And that one we should be able to do in four minutes.
Okay.
All right, so True Blood, some stuff happened, and some people died, and there was blood.
Okay. Yeah, so looking at the last two or three episodes or whatever it was, the only thing that I took away from it really is that I actually am intrigued with the storyline of Suki and Jason's past. Like,
with their mom and the deal that apparently their grandfather made.
For the firstborn fairy child, female or whatever. It's like, wow, so that I think is opening up an interesting.
But we don't know what he exchanged it for.
That's just
not going to get resolved until next year. I have a feeling it's going to just end up being sort of a cliffhanger thing.
Maybe.
Where they get to some moment of, oh my god, and then we're not actually going to resolve that storyline till next year.
Well, yeah, that sounds likely.
It does, but considering how slowly they've been building that part of the storyline this year, I don't blame them for that. They need something that'll bring
carry
them to
over
next
because
year. Yeah.
Yeah, this season's all been about the authority, the vampire authority.
Yeah.
You know, there's one episode.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. I'm sad because Hoyt's gone, and the way he left, mind erased, it was heartbreaking.
The episode for me, and it's interesting too because Hoyt has annoyed me as a character this entire season.
Yeah.
So I was sort of feeling like, you know, if they get rid of Hoyt, that's not going to be any big deal, and then they did, and I was just crying all over.
Me too. It's the way they did it. They could have easily just had him be like, "Oh, f you all," and leave, but the way that he said, you know what, I just want to move on, change, you know.
I just want you all erased from my memory.
Yeah, and it's like and even though she said that she didn't love him, I think it was like the episode before, she's like, no, I never loved you or whatever.
No, she fell out of love with him.
Yeah, so I was like, no, you know what, she still loves him.
Right. Well, I think the thing that actually made it even more tragic is I understood him wanting Jessica removed from his memory, but then him also saying he wanted Jason too. Yeah. I was like, but Jason, you've known Jason since you were a child. Oh,
and then when he found him in the truck, when he pulled him over, and then he came back to the car and was crying. I'm like, God damn it, I hate you, show. And then the other thing was this.
Watson was amazing in that scene. He really was, yes. When he just lost it. And I've never really seen Jason lose it like that.
Right.
You absolutely believe that.
Oh, completely.
It's absolutely emotionally true.
And I really like the fact that with the storyline this year with him and Suki, I mean, they've always been kind of, they've had each other's backs from the beginning. He's mm-hmm. been rolling with the punches of all the weird stuff that's going on in their life. But the two of them, I can't tell. But the two of them together like that in the car with him crying and her there, it's like, they're the family. That's them, you know? And yeah. I just really liked that relationship was enforced, that with all the crazy madness that's going on, the two of them are still together as a family and supporting each other. So I thought that was cool.
Well, and that's true, because Suki, I have to say, this season Suki has been tolerable because it's not about her and her men.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, she has not seen either Eric or Bill since the premiere.
Yeah.
Since I think the first episode, maybe the second, mm-hmm. and she hasn't seen them since. And that has made her character a stronger character.
Better, yeah.
Yeah, I think that when it's not all about the guys and her relationship with the guys and whatever, and it's about family and other stuff, it's actually tolerable.
And unless I'm wrong, in this particular episode, I don't think there was any sex. It was like, I remember, like a day later, I was like, I don't think there was any, no one had sex in this
episode. No one got naked. No one got naked
in this episode. So the last thing I wanted to comment about the last couple episodes is the whole idea of Lilith and the blood and the fact that Bill is apparently all into it.
Bill has lost his mind.
Gone into the whole thing and bought into it. And yet I'm still thinking he must be having a bigger plan, but he's killing people.
He's not. He is totally...
He's a true believer.
He totally betrayed Eric.
Oh, completely. And he's been okay with killing what the sacrificial woman on the table.
Right.
And
the other thing is when he brings Jessica, he's like, oh, I have this book for you to read. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no.
And the fact that now Eric...
dawning realization that he's lost his marbles.
Yeah.
I like Jessica. The look on her face. She's like, yeah, I did this with Bible camp. Like, yeah. She's like, this seems really familiar.
They've completely divorced themselves from the books.
Oh, that happened a long time ago.
So the fact
actually
that...
leads to the other thing that I loved in this episode was Russell's meltdown.
Oh, yeah. Russell was like, he played along...
He actually lost it and went completely into his original accent, and I was
noticed that too.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because he was like, you know what, the whole Lilith thing was fun, we were killing people, but he's like, he's not into it.
He knew it was because he was always one that they're like, he was like the kid at the table, like wanting to get like the reverend and go off and like have fun, kill people, and she was always like, no, come on, can we get serious here, you know, and he was just like, man, I'm just rolling with this show. It's interesting because he was the one that was just in it for the hell of it right then, whereas Bill was committed when you would expect it to be the opposite almost.
Right.
And then Eric...
Uh-oh. Well, I don't think Eric is a believer now because I think that Bill interpreted their hallucinations differently than what they saw.
I
think Godric actually broke them both out of it
and that they're both faking it. Well, we'll find out, but that's... I think that's...
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah. As a hallucination.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you say, Allison?
I said, I'm not so certain about his sister, but I'm certain that Eric is faking it.
I'm hoping so.
I don't think
he went and apologized to Russell. He had this look in his eyes of, and now I'm going to look for my opportunity to kill you.
All right, so let's wrap that one up. Let's move on. Next up, we're going to talk about Newsroom, and they had two episodes for Newsroom. The first one was actually when the president basically announces the whole... Osama bin Laden's been killed. That's what the whole thing is building up for in Newsroom. And I have to say that is one of the best episodes they've ever done.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I agree. I thought it was great. Well, I mean, because most of the episode is more about how these people have this information, but they can't really do anything officially about it.
Right. You know? Well, because they figured it out, and I like that Sam Waterston's character was like, okay, we've double-checked it, we've triple-checked our sources, we know what the president's going to announce, but he's like, but the president keeps delaying the announcement. He's like, well, there might be a reason. He's like, we could have some Scud missiles or whatever. He's like, there could be some military reason why they're not announcing it right now. And so he said, let's give it to the president to make the announcement and let's not, you know, jump in and be responsible newsmen. And so that was all really interesting. And then you had the other people who were stuck on the plane who were frustrated that they couldn't be part of this huge news thing because right. they're stuck on the tarmac. So, go ahead, Peter, go ahead.
No, that's it. I agree. And then, of course, the joke at the end is that didn't McAvoy get a text from Biden?
He got an email. That's the thing that's so bad.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, so that was, and he got it like 20 minutes before, but that was the joke, is that McAvoy was so high for the entire episode.
Right, yes.
Because they were having a birthday, they were having a party at his house, and so he's like, you know, I'm at home, I don't have to drive anywhere, and somebody gave him some really good weed or something, and so he was totally baked. And then this information came in, and everybody ran into the office, and he was gone. He was like, and then once his supervisor realized that how high he was, she was like, well, maybe you shouldn't be on the air. And he's like, you won't take this from me. He's like, this is the biggest story ever. I'm going on the air. But wow, and then his security guard ended up getting arrested because he's all high and jumping out of the car and going crazy. And the police, of course, arrest the big black guy that's chasing him down the street.
Oh, that's right. And he said, again, what is it like? Something about being big and black.
I can't help being big and black.
Right, yeah, the cops are like, you're big, man, you're making us nervous, don't make us nervous. And he's like, I can't help being big and black. Just a thing. So yeah, that was really good. And then they end the whole thing, like everything's come together, and then right at the end credits, you have Obama start his speech, and they do the speech over the credits. And it was just gave you chills. It was because of how they set everything up. Oh, and then the great moment where the people on the tarmac actually got to tell the pilots.
Oh, yeah, that was good too.
Yeah. And it was just like they had really good moments where they realized who they were talking to. It's like, oh, you're pilots. You should hear this news before anybody else. And so he tells them.
United pilots.
Oh, yeah, it was just real, it just, the whole thing, it's actually giving me chills right now, okay? Just like the whole thing.
I'm getting chills too.
Yeah,
it was really good. Yeah. I agree. I thought it was one of their best episodes.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And then the second episode was part one of two, which...
Right, so the second episode's good. It's basically about them having to compromise on their morals because, I forgot, what's the case?
They want to get the Republican... debate on
the No, but what's the tabloid case that they don't want to do?
It's
somebody,
it's
Anthony. It's
Casey Anthony. Right, it's Casey Anthony and
Wait. You guys can't talk at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
No, it was Allison that was talking. I couldn't hear
Allison, sorry.
I'm wondering what the gossip news magazine was. They had this TMI on the show.
Right, but it was all about the Casey Anthony case, and they didn't want to do that case because they said it wasn't news. But
plus,
then
it was about the same time as the debt ceiling debate.
Right.
And Sloan correctly predicts this is a huge story, and for us not to cover it is malpractice.
Right. And the thing about it is because the cool thing about the show is because they're doing news from like a year ago, then we all know what the important news is, and we're like, yeah, the debt ceiling's way more important in this case.
Right.
You know, and we know that, but they can't know that. And also the thing is, the producer
about not knowing that, because just as a matter of pure practicality, you figure the economy is a good deal more important than Casey Anthony. The only reason that they gave so much time to that is because that was the ratings winner. They were being killed in the ratings.
They need that to get the debates.
Weren't covering it.
Right. But that's the thing, is if they don't cover the Casey Anthony case, their ratings go down, then they can't get the debates that they want.
Right.
So that was the whole thing is... He wants his ratings as high as possible so that when they get the debates, he can negotiate the debate format that he wants. And because, of course, I'm now in the future versus the past, I know he's not going to win that. But that's kind of the part one.
I know.
Somebody's pointing out that we are out of time to talk about Newsroom.
To be continued.
Only thing is, the way it ended, going into part two, was the producer chick, she was like, she's like, looks up into heaven, is like, give me a sign, God, that this is the wrong story, and all the power in the building goes off. And she was like, that's a pretty good sign. She's like, I'll take it.
That's definitive.
All right, so next week we look forward to them maybe getting power back.
Yeah.
All right, next up, let's talk about political animals. And political animals, they claimed it was a limited series, but the ratings have been, I guess, good enough that now it went from limited series finale to season finale. And they got opening credits all of a sudden. And I was like, oh, okay. This is not a limited series. This is now a summer series. No, it's the season finale now.
Yeah.
So now they're looking at doing a second season.
Right.
So, and I like it a lot. It's weird because they both come on Sunday, so I watch Newsroom and Political Animals kind of back to back, and I really, really like how that works for me.
I heard about it too late to really sort of get into it, and I want to get into it from the beginning.
Yeah,
so I need to go look at my on-demand.
I like
because...
the cast. I just haven't seen it, but I'm glad to hear it's good.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I mean... if you can get over the fact that they totally ripped off
Hillary Clinton's
the Clintons as a whole, and instead of having the twin girls, they made them twin boys, like, that's pretty much the... Oh, and then when she loses the presidency and becomes Secretary of State, she divorces her husband. So those are the big major differences.
And that... is that Kieran Hines?
Who's Kieran Hines?
The husband.
The husband?
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, because he just got cast in Game of Thrones, so...
Yes, he did.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones is only 13 episodes. Yeah, they could be staggered.
10 episodes.
But, yeah, it depends on when they film.
Yeah, I think... because 10 episodes, he can do both.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say he can do both. But, yeah, it's the show, I think, is going to get picked up, and it was really good. I mean, I was really surprised at how... Well, Sigourney Weaver, so I don't know why I should be surprised. So she's been knocking it out of the park. These last episodes are really about the drug addict son, him opening his club, and the fact that...
Well, two sons.
Well, only one son is a drug addict.
Yeah, but they're balancing the drug addict son with the political son who's
right.
doing all these backroom deals and ends up slipping and falling into you-know-who's... the Gugino's hoo-ha.
Yes, that does happen. People just trip and fall that way. But yeah, that the thing
yeah,
is
just so predictable. And that, I was staring at the screen.
I hated it.
Don't go where I think you're going. Don't. Oh, you did.
Yeah, it was bad fan fiction. It's basically they take two characters supposedly hate each other and lock them in a room for 8 hours, and of course they have sex because that's what everybody does. But
I just knock them out and then I don't have to deal with them.
Right. It was silly.
Depends who it is.
But I think that the thing that's tricky about the drug addict son is that they're trying to make him sympathetic and I just don't care about him. Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
yeah.
OD, I don't care.
Is he the guy who's the Mad Hatter in Once Upon a Time?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
He needs to go back to that because he's brilliant as the Mad Hatter.
Well, I mean, his character, it's not his fault. It's that they make his character so kind of pathetic and so there's
Which
nothing.
Is what drug addicts are.
Yeah, well, yeah. And
you can still have character.
Yeah, except that he's always been the loser son. Like his twin brother is the head of staff for his mom. So his twin brother's like right on it. It's just really perfect. And so they're the opposite poles of each other, and he
Which
can't.
Is almost a stereotype, isn't it?
It is, and that's
it
part
is.
Of the problem. Mm-hmm. But the stuff with Sigourney Weaver is fantastic. The stuff with her husband is fantastic. All of them, and the president the guy they have as the president is what is that man's name?
Adrian Pascal.
Thank you.
Oh,
he's fantastic as the president.
Yeah, he's got.
So the two of them
in the
room
with
their bad.
Well, maybe with the limited run, they decided let's deal with these characters and these other people are. Kind of have to be stereotypes to serve their purpose, but now if they get to go to series, they'll get to
make them real
out.
People, right?
Yeah.
But,
I actually appreciated in this last episode with the submarine that they humanized Pazdar, that they made him not a complete douchebag,
right?
Had him actually act presidential, which
right.
I really appreciated because I thought there has to be some reason he was elected.
Well, and that's the thing is she actually reminded Sigourney Weaver actually reminded him why he was elected president and. Even and I think by her not lying to him anymore and saying, you know what, I'm going to run against you, and now that they're they're honest with each other, he could respect what she's saying to him now. And they pull through on that thing together in a really good way. So, thumbs up. Watch Political Animals. It might be, it's USA, so maybe it's on Hulu? I don't know. I didn't check. But you should definitely watch. It's only like 6 episodes. So definitely give it a shot.
Very short season.
Alright, next up, I want to talk about Longmire for like 1 minute. Yay. No, you watch Longmire?
Oh,
okay, well then 2 minutes.
We've discussed this before. I like Westerns.
Okay. Well, the thing about Longmire, the last couple episodes, is it's all been really about the election that's coming up, and it's that Branch is sleeping with Longmire's daughter and trying to steal his job. Mm. And the big reveal is that he finds that out in these last two episodes, and it's his reaction, which is bad.
Understatement.
He is no longer speaking to his daughter, and he and Branch got into maybe a really big fist fight. What was great about the fist fight was he was like, if you could knock me on my butt,
I'll retire
right now. And I was like, he's a pretty strong guy. I couldn't figure out what his thing was. And of course, his thing was he dodged the punch. And I was like, oh, all right, that works too.
Yeah, it's all about experience.
Right.
Which is what he's always trying to show Branch, but he's doing it in a non-teacher like way.
Well, because he hates him is the problem. That's kind of the problem. He and Branch really don't get along. And the thing is, Branch isn't ready. He really is not ready to be a sheriff.
No, it's clear every time when he doesn't understand what the big picture is.
Right.
And he's very reactionary.
He just assumes whoever the first obvious person who looks guilty is obviously the guilty person. And I was like, that's not how it always works.
Yeah.
And he's not political enough. But he's political, but in a way that he's scared of everything. Versus political in a way on how to maneuver stuff.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have...
Longmire ignores everything?
Well, not everything. He doesn't ignore stuff that goes on the res. He's very sensitive to that kind of thing.
But he's ignoring, obviously, his past.
Yes. He's ignoring it
which
really
also,
hard.
Which also came to... Which was an interesting dichotomy in the fact that we didn't know...
His past.
What had happened about the wife.
Right.
You know,
and
we all thought she died of cancer, too.
Right. And you find out, oh, because now you understand where all those scars came from on his back and everything. All that stuff now kind of makes sense in that his wife, while she was dying of cancer, was randomly murdered. Like, what are the odds of that? So he then figures out who the killer is, jumps into that guy, and kills him. And so now the police in the city are now, like, questioning
Denver,
him.
Denver, yeah.
Yeah, Denver. They're like, okay, we found the killer, and he was miraculously dead. Got any comment? And he's like, I got nothing to say. But I mean, he obviously killed the... I mean, he's got... Only thing is, they
he's
can't...
He's got anger issues.
Yeah, well, and they can't prove that he did it, obviously. But... And he's not going to help them. So that's kind of where they left it off in the cliffhanger. And it got really good. I mean...
Yeah.
I like the relationship with his daughter. She
and I
said
like
some
Katie Sackhoff as the other deputy who has a clue.
Well, what's the other thing is, they also introduced in the finale that Katie Sackhoff has a thing for him. Like, that...
Though they're hinting at it, whether it's true
hint?
Or not.
What are you talking about? The hint, she took the gift that his soon-to-be girlfriend gave him and dumped it in a drawer because she didn't want him to get it, and she hates the woman. There's no reason to hate that woman other than you want to sleep with the guy. There was no other reason. And then when she was toying with putting on her wedding ring, she didn't want to put it back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got a thing. There's a thing. Okay. There's a thing going on. Anyway, so watch Longmire. I really liked it. It was only, 10 episodes?
Yeah. So the finale, so it's done.
Yeah, and it got picked up.
Yeah.
So, yay! All right. Next up is Falling Skies. Someone else talk first.
Well, they've got several of Galactica's writers, and they decided to swipe some of the plot lines, too.
Oh, you mean the wiped out South Carolina?
No, I'm talking about the military coup.
Oh, well, yes. Well, okay, I can see that. But I, like, when they all came across, they were like, we gotta get to Charleston. And as soon as they got there, I was like, it's gonna be a big crater. Because that's a Battlestar move.
We just want you to think it's a big crater because underneath the crater is a thriving city.
Right, but so I thought that was the Battlestar move when I saw the big crater. But also, as soon as they get to the great metropolis, I was like, okay, there's something wrong. And of course, there's something wrong in that they have a dictator who claims that he's a diplomatically or that he's a democracy. With democracy elected?
Democratically,
thank you. Now he's claiming he's the democratically elected representative of all the people, but there was actually never an election. It was just more that he was the first one there. He established the city. He moved everybody in, and he has the support of the people, and so the military had to follow him, except they've always wanted an excuse to take over. And basically, the second mass showing up gave the military the excuse and the opportunity to create a coup. And they're like, we just walked into the middle of a coup. Oops. So, yeah, but I think all I think that this season...
I hate when that happens.
You hate when that happens? But I think that this season has definitely been a much better season.
When you get great writers and a solid premise for a series... You know, if you don't screw it up, you can have a good show. And that's what happened in season two.
That not screwing it up part that makes the difference, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, the not screwing it up. Yeah, and they did a great job. I mean...
Yeah, but the ratings are great. So it's already picked up for season three, so...
Oh, yeah, this is a much better... Yeah, it's a much better show than season one was. I mean, heads and shoulders better. And
NBC would kill for the ratings of a show like this. In fact, NBC would kill for most of the basic cable hits.
Well, the only thing I just wanted to talk about really quick is that Terry O'Quinn is the leader of the society, and he either plays a really good guy or he plays a really bad guy. And,
after Lost, he seems to be playing more bad guys.
Yeah, he does it really well.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't going to go anywhere good.
Yes. Well, you see him, you know it's bad, but... He had that sense of menace. You didn't see that menace until later. Like, he starts off like, oh, we're best friends. We've known each other forever. You're not agreeing with me? Why aren't you agreeing with me? I think you should agree with me. If you want your friends let out of prison, you should agree with me. You're still disagreeing with me? That's unfortunate. It's like the threats just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then he's like, we will put them on trial for their lives for treason and then execute them. Like, what? We went from being best friends for you putting me on trial for treason and then executing me? So, yeah, Terry O'Quinn went, he swung from good guy to bad guy in the space of like an hour, so.
Well, he is on 666 Park Avenue, or whatever,
he's the devil. My problem with the show is that this part, you know, when they get to the city, the underground shopping mall, and all of this stuff happens, the coup and everything, all of this is great stuff. What I have issue about still with the show is that we spent most of the season just kind of, you know, wandering in circles and doing a lot of filler in order to get here, and I would have been a lot more interested, say them this earlier, and just stretched this out and made these relationships much more complicated and explained everything that was going on in, you know, Charleston with more time. I mean, I feel like, yes, this is all interesting, but it's being thrown at me in the last, like, 2-3 episodes.
That's true, but then I think if we had been at Charleston for longer, people would have been like, oh, it's like Walking Dead and the farm, you know? So we would have had the same... I think we would have had the same arguments no matter what they did, but I think that the episodes when they were on the road, it was more about Ben and about the unharnessed kids and about the Alliance.
It was about the unharnessed kids and Ben and the relationship between the Hal and his girlfriend.
Yeah, I didn't care about Hal or his girlfriend, so... I didn't really.
I don't care about that at all.
Yeah, but anyway. So, wrapping this one up. Thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
All right. So, let's... can't wait for next season. Next up, we're going to talk about Warehouse 13.
Yay!
And I have to say, the premiere was awful. Did we already talk about that?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay, we
already
talked about
the
premiere. Yeah, we were not happy about the premiere.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the episodes that were better.
Yeah.
The next two episodes weren't too bad.
Nope.
We got Jinxie back.
We did.
That's the thing that I thought was fascinating is that not only did they resurrect Jinx, they made him a primary cast member instead of a guest star.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, because I think he's back. I like him.
He's back, and the fact that he's now obviously connected
to Claudia
in a very special, unique way, I think that helps a lot.
And one of these days, he needs to tell her.
Yes, that would be important.
That would probably be why.
So I think that's coming because he did tell.
Micah.
So she knows, and I think she's going to push him to be a little bit more honest with what's going on.
Yeah, basically, if he falls off a cliff, she's dead.
Yeah, so he's...
He but the same thing for her. I mean, obviously, because he got the cut when she was hit by those... when she got that cut, he...
No. It's just him to her. Because he got cut, and she felt it. It's just him to her.
No.
Yes, it is.
She thought that something had hit her.
I know.
And he was bleeding.
No, that's what I'm saying. It happened to him.
That's why she thought the birds hit him.
Yeah, right.
She thought that she's like, the bird must have got me because I feel it.
Oh,
is there anything?
Yeah.
And he's like,
I guess
no.
I thought it was the.
No,
it was,
no,
it was
her.
Both.
That's why he was
it's
bleeding.
It's one way because it's for the bird thing. It's for the arm when he did the thing for the guy wearing the sunglasses.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, she like just kind of moved her arm, and it was his arm that had done it.
Yeah.
You know, so he's the one that's. And then, of course, the pinprick to prove it at the end. So it's him to her entirely. And she doesn't get it. So when she was having the anxiety attack, she thought, in this episode.
Right.
It was like, nope, sorry, it's just him not being able to breathe.
She's like, oh, I'm better now. Yeah. No, so, you're not. I think the only thing I don't like about the new format is it seems like it's like some sort of game, like how many artifacts can we discover in one episode? Go. Like, I think that's unnecessary. Because I think in this last episode, in the last two episodes, it's just been like this whole
hunt. But they did have a purpose for it in the fact that a whole bunch of dangerous artifacts had been stolen and they're in recovery mode.
Right.
So, yeah. But you could have them hunting, you know, normal occurrences out there plus this guy's stash one at a time, or you can have him doing pops at a time.
Well, there was the one episode for the where it was Sykes's treasure of them that they were going for when they had the multiples and they had the two teams going out and get it. And I actually thought that was kind of a fun episode they were trying for.
Yeah, it's just the problem was they had two episodes in a row that were like that. Well, like the first one I was like cool with, but then the second one it was like there are eight marbles, we have to go collect them all. I'm like, really?
But it was from the same collection, but at least they were is that one storyline. But those I'm not worried about. Like the artifact collecting part of it, I'm okay with. I'm really not interested in the whole Artie and Brent Spiner. Can we just like, okay, big doom thing happening.
Yeah. What was the Artie? He was doing his job and he had to weigh which is the more dangerous.
Yeah.
The danger you can't tell me what it is and the danger I know and I'm telling you what was happening.
Yeah.
And he just said the world lost hope. He doesn't tell them about the mass suicides and all these things. This is what the consequences of losing hope was. Yeah, it's like,
I'm
you need to explain
that.
The fact that you're weighing this because...
Yeah, they're not talking to each other.
Yeah,
and
it's annoying.
And it's just making all these cults, these religious Vatican cults, you know. It's like, oh yeah, the big bad is a Vatican cult. Oh, please. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, then at the very end of the episode, Artie's big no. And I was like, what are you, Khan? Like, well,
right.
He's like, no!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
come
I'm
on.
I'm not impressed with that.
I want H.G. Wells back. I mean,
thank
it's
you.
To get her back. It's like she needs to be on there because her and Micah's dynamic is
fantastic.
So much fun.
I like.
And he fought for her. I'm like,
it's the woman version of a bromance.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Yep. And they fought for her, so you know, and they got permission to have her, and then it's like,
is she on another show?
She was going to. She was going to be on. There was like a pilot or something that.
Yeah,
she was
there was
work
a spinoff,
on.
But then they didn't
do
it.
Oh no, she's on Defiance.
That's
right.
She
is.
That's what
she
is. Because I was like, where the heck is she?
Yeah
okay, that explains it.
A guest spot, but she can't come back on regular basis.
No. All right. So Warehouse 13 is meh.
We'll see where the Artie thing goes. If they can wrap that up pretty quick and get over the whole, oh, Claudia's going to stab him, when we know she's not really going to, or something else is going to happen.
And
him
being afraid of Claudia just seems unreal.
Whatever.
So unless, of course, the dagger is imbued with an evil factor.
It always is.
Evil.
All
right, next up, let's talk about Alphas. And am I the only one who watches Alphas?
No, I watch it too.
Yep.
Okay. No, see, Allison said yes. Ha. All right, Allison, help me out. What'd you think?
I thought it was a solid episode. I didn't think it was outstanding, but it was, you know, it was one of their kind of like their episodes. I really wish they'd get back to showing more Gary, because Gary, for me, is the most entertaining part of the entire show. You know, whenever they do go to that, it's fun to watch.
Well, I mean, be careful what you wish for. He was mostly naked in the last episode. So, I don't think that's what you meant.
That much of Gary, but,
I didn't care about the chick. What's her...
that I don't care that much about, I guess, which is why it wasn't like an outstanding episode for me.
Yeah, it was all a flashback about the woman that could push people. I forgot her name, which means she's a main cast member. I don't know her name because I don't care, because Hicks was with her, but then they broke up because she pushed him. And this whole episode is her having some delusional fantasy that her boyfriend from when she was a teenager is still in love with her. And she basically took him away from his family.
Yeah, she pushes him, and she pushes his wife also to reject him.
Right. It was just like, I didn't care about that. But the episode before that, I thought, was better, because they've now picked up the blonde chick who helps...
Yeah, the one who learns things really quickly but also forgets just as
right. Well. She only has 6 weeks worth of memories, and then her memories just start erasing because she has to make room in her brain because she can remember a ridiculous amount of stuff. She has sense memory and she has like muscle memory. So if she teaches herself something once, she always knows that skill. Mm-hmm. She doesn't necessarily remember that she knows that skill, but she does. And she can just keep learning new things. So she's like crazy good at fighting. And so they had the whole fight club thing, all the alphas fighting each other, which sounds silly on paper, but it ended up being kind of cool because Malik Yoba's character that I forgot his name, he actually learned to control his ability, because his main problem is his ability is that he's super strong, but it increases his heart rate to the point where he can actually have a heart attack. So he has to really be careful when he uses it. But she taught him how to use it anytime he wants, and she was like, it's because you're trying to control it so much and you're trying to keep a hold of it that you're having such a hard time. She's just relax, let go, and be comfortable with being who you are, and it won't be a problem. And he found out that was true. So, like, as soon as he just, like, relaxed...
Get zen.
He got very zen. Yeah, exactly. And then he can use his powers all the time. And that was actually pretty cool. But now, of course, he's addicted to the fighting because he's super strong. And this is an arena where he can actually use his powers. So
excel at, yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I like that. I like her as a new character. And I liked how she joined the group, which was... She's like, you guys are a secret CIA organization of alphas? She's like... Pick me to join the team. I'm awesome. And that was her sell. And it worked. I was like, all right.
The direct approach.
She's yeah, a great she's... character, and I really would like to see more of her because she is interesting and yeah. She's fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's a really good addition, so thumbs up. All right, next up, let's talk about, when I say let's, I mean not me. We have the closer finale and the introduction of Major Crimes. And I shall exit stage left. Because I did not have time to watch all of the Closer and Major Crimes before this podcast. And I don't want to be spoiled, and I love the Closer, so I don't want to be spoiled in the last bit. So, Peter and Tom, you guys are in charge of that?
Okay. Sure. It shouldn't take too long. I thought the Closer finale was a good wrap-up. The big reveal was who the mole was.
That was the episode before.
Olivia goes and runs
behind. That's right. But it was good.
The leak was. I watched those two back to back, and I thought that was really good. And also, it also dovetails into which character would not be on Major Crimes,
or which characters would not be on Major Crimes. Besides, right. You know, we know that Brenda's not going to be there.
Right, but then doesn't she takes Gabriel, right?
She takes Gabriel with her.
Right. The whole leak thing was. I thought it was pretty good. And then the finale. I figured the finale was going to deal with that. The rapist lawyer guy. I figured that. I was like, well, that's going to be what it is. So, but I mean, actually, I was surprised she didn't kill him. I actually thought there's a moment I was like, oh, she's going to kill him, but like she didn't.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, and plus it was really kind of the setup, the beginning for Major Crimes, because you get the kid.
Wait, oh, see, now I haven't seen Major Crimes. Wait, is that you mean the? Are you talking about the prostitute kid?
Yeah.
Wait, he's on Major Crimes?
Everybody yes. is.
How? They can't hire
him. No, Captain Raider, they're having problems. He runs away from his foster home. They're having problems placing him. And so Captain Raider is named temporary custodian.
Interesting. Okay. I think it's, well, wait. He wanted to know who is... Do we find out whatever happened to his mom? That was last episode.
That was kind of the running... That was a running story arc. On Closer, Brenda had promised to find out where his mother, and then on Major Crimes, Raider says, we're doing everything to find her. And so she brings him home, and he asks, what shall I call you? And she says, you know, call me Sharon. And he's like, are you joking? You don't know? You haven't tried to find my mother at all.
Are you saying that Captain Raider and his mom has the same name?
Captain Raider and his mother have the same first name.
Oh, okay. All right. So how was Major Crimes?
It wasn't bad. It's less of a spin-off than a continuation, with the exception there's no Brenda, but they have Fritz guest spot. Basically, anybody from Closer can guest or is a regular, and so Fritz shows up and you know, keeps the notion of Brenda alive and takes all the candy out of Raider's desk. But the change is that I'm taking over Major Crimes. I'm going to run everything by the book. So it's the contrast is Mary McDonnell by the book versus Brenda's completely off the book.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I saw the opening, the credits, it's exactly the same as the closer.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The theme song, yeah, so you're right. It is really more of a, it almost is like a reformatting or something.
Well, you know, because I haven't seen it, you guys, but when I'd read it, or I read the review on Major Crimes, the comment they made is that really what it is exactly that. It's the closure, but all you've done is remove the lead character and put the focus on someone else. But that's really it. So, yeah, and not even a spinoff. They're saying it's really just a kind of a move, or, you know, this rollover into this new show almost.
I mean, technically, if they had made Captain Rader the same job as Brenda, they could have kept the name.
Yeah.
She could have been the new closer.
Exactly.
But they didn't do that. So now it's Major Crime.
Yep.
Oh, wait. I'm assuming J.K. Simmons is not in it, though, right?
That is correct. Although he's referred to.
Okay, because in the finale of the closer, he doesn't really get a send off. So technically, he would still be there in the next episode.
Well, he's still there in the hierarchy, but this is focusing on the unit. So
it's kind of like on the West Wing, how technically there are characters that come in and out, but we don't see them all the time. But that doesn't mean they're still not there.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Grimm.
Yay!
Grimm. Okay.
Okay. All right. And this was the new season 2 premiere, which actually looped into the finale.
Perfectly.
Yeah. Like they actually. Yeah. They like played.
They played back the last part of the finale.
Yeah.
And then they even added a little bit more because you had more of her view outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
As they were
listening
bringing
to the
in.
Fight and everything.
Yeah. No, I think. Why would she listen to a fight or somebody beating the crap out of her son? Okay. Sure.
Well, she's getting herself played out. That's all right.
That was
strange. When do you jump in and when don't you jump in?
Yeah. But anyway, first thing I noticed is the intro. Can't say I'm thrilled with it, but I'm like, because, you know, second season, you know.
Well, I think the intro of season 1 was better because it was quick.
Exactly.
It was just like grim.
It was like, if you knew what you were in for, great. But this was like a little talky to me, but oh well.
They were hoping to pick up a lot more viewers because of all the promos during the Olympics.
Exactly.
But they forget it is NBC and people are used to not watching that network.
Yeah. So this was their way of kind of giving people the lowdown on what to expect for the show. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Is it going to be normally on Mondays now?
Oh, yeah. It moved.
Just these couple.
Then it's going back to Friday, I think, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, that makes more sense because it was doing really great. To have a show that does well on Friday is very rare.
Yeah. So it's just because they wanted to build on that earlier and then they're going to move it back.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, so a lot of things to love about the episode.
I love his mom.
Except
I love Monroe's thing is she scares the crap out of me. I was like,
I kind of feel like she's evil.
I don't know if she's evil.
Or she's been alone for way too
long. Well, I mean,
she may have ulterior motives.
Right. Like, I feel like when he gave her... Wait, okay, we're all talking at the same time. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I think she definitely has ulterior motives.
Well,
but...
Yeah, and when he gave her the coins, I was like, I wouldn't trust her with the coins.
It was a bit early. It was a bit
but
early.
But then she tells him, put them back away. We got other stuff to take
But
care
she knows where they are. So.
Right. Now she knows where they are.
Yeah.
And also, she's like, we have to take these to the Mount of
someplace
Olympus and drop them down into the well.
It's like the One Ring, right?
Yeah.
We have to
go
back to where it was
forged
to die.
Yes. And
so,
I just was kind of like, really? Come on. Like, it just... I don't know. Everything about her story just didn't feel like she was telling the truth.
But I almost think like are they trying to double blind us? Like they're trying to give us that doubt, but ultimately we'll find out that she really is working with him and for him in this whole thing.
I mean,
so
it would be cool because it's good to have
She's his mom. Nobody wants to believe your mom is evil.
Yeah. That's why I think she's evil.
I'm not going to commit to evil. I'll say she will do everything she can for her son, but she might have ulterior motives because of those 18 years where she was on her own and God knows what trouble she got herself into.
She's definitely scarred up. I mean,
she's definitely been in a lot.
Yeah. I mean, she's one of those Grimms that
she's lived that long.
The Vessin have, you know, tell their kids stories about.
Yeah,
she's, because even the look on her face when he was like, these are my friends.
Yeah. She was like disgusted.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was she couldn't figure it out. But then.
I like Monroe's reaction. Dude, your mom kind of scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
understandable. But I like how the CGI too, that they're building up the CG this year, and I know they mentioned it in some articles and stuff how they're adding more money for the cost of that. So we did get to see Monroe and Bree Walker's character, Bree Turner. What is
so,
it? Bree
so,
Turner's
do you guys,
character?
I watched the pilot. I got the Grimm, the season one, and yeah. So I watched the pilot, and I thought it was okay, but it sounds like you're, I mean, you guys are obviously into season two, so
yeah.
Clearly it pays off.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I think season one's a little slow at the
yeah.
beginning.
But it gets,
yeah, you got to go about halfway, and once they introduce the coins,
yeah.
And you start to really see
the
that
second,
there are
the back
other
half
players.
Is really good.
Yeah, the scope.
Well,
once you want
the arc episodes are quite good.
Yeah, when
yeah.
you get
the one-offs are kind of eh.
So
yeah.
Tom, you like it too?
I like it. I don't love it.
It's yeah. I mean, and that's how it is. A lot of people I know watch it and they enjoy it. But then there's those of us who definitely, you know, we love it.
I think that once they, when you first start off, it seems like it's a very small scale. There's these Grimms that fight these monsters, and that's it.
You think it's
yeah.
a monster of the week.
Yeah,
yeah,
monster of the week. But once they introduce the idea of the family, the royal families, and the coins,
and
the history,
and who the hell the captain actually is,
yeah,
in the grand
Captain
scheme.
Seriously,
yeah.
Still don't know what's up with the captain.
Well, at first I thought it was all about the German heritage because everybody spoke German, and now everybody's speaking
now French.
And I'm like, okay, whatever, man. I don't know what's going on right now. And it just gets bigger. It gets bigger.
Let me ask this.
And bigger.
I watched about half of Once Upon a Time, and then I kind of gave up. Do you like this more?
Well,
I like them
up.
Both the same for two very different
They're
reasons.
They're equally flawed.
See,
yeah.
yeah. But you know what, Peter? I gave up on Once Upon a Time, but I kept it with Grimm, and I really like it.
I think
oh, that's a good sign.
I okay. think that Once Upon a Time towards the end gets really good.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
But the thing with Once Upon a Time, I know we're totally diverting, is half the time when I did watch it, I was like, oh my God, people, you are stupid. You have been written as stupid
Seriously?
People.
That is true.
You know, whereas on Grimm, nobody's stupid.
Well,
some people are in
the
dark.
The partner's stupid. They write the partner
he's
stupid.
Exactly.
Hank is,
but
yeah.
we don't know if that's going to change at all. But having one person be written stupid versus like plot lines
Everybody
being stupid,
be stupid
and
yeah.
you wanting to smack the screen, that's
Hank
a very different
needs
story.
To be brought into the educated
yeah.
fold.
Yeah.
So they can't
Seriously.
Let him dangle out there. He's going to
yeah.
start.
He's going to lose his mind.
Yeah.
He's already fallen apart.
Okay, so
he needs to be brought into the whole fold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I think they're different shows, and I think they both get better in the second half of the season. But I do agree that I was probably more frustrated with some of the stuff that was happening on Once Upon a Time. But then, like I said, by the time they get to the end, I really liked it.
Okay.
I really liked how it ended.
Okay.
So anyway, next,
okay.
let's
yep.
talk about White Collar.
Yay.
White Collar.
This season, I couldn't believe that we're already having Neil betray Peter already.
I'm like, I was waiting for that. I'm like, damn, yes. Well, because you have
betrayal,
to.
And he was blackmailed
yes.
by evil Rebecca Mader.
And
that's
yeah.
true.
Really, which was really not surprising as soon as we saw
Yeah,
her.
But I mean, the fact that Peter
yeah.
almost, he basically lost his reputation, lost part of his career, did all this stuff to prove that Neil
yep.
was a good guy.
Yep.
And as soon as that was all under the table, Neil then robbed the
I
museum.
Was happy. I wanted that because, and I've been thinking about it. You guys have to understand too, I'm working on that wonderful World of Time Compression, which everybody who knows when you start from zero and like marathon a show that's been
oh.
on for three seasons, you are just like the entire thing, everything happened at once, you know? So just seeing it all compressed like that. So I'm like, all the episodes were really fresh because I've caught up on White Collar in like the last 3 weeks from zero. So it's like, so seeing how that happened, I was telling myself, where can they go now? Because there's always got to be that
tension.
Okay, there has to be that question of will Neil or won't he? Because that's what drives the show. And the fact that it's not just a buddy cop movie and he's not just the CI without a collar, you know, without his angle on it. There
yeah.
has to be that question of trust. And we know Neil's the good guy because he's the lead, he's the hero, he's the good guy.
But
there has to be that addictive, you know, impulse of him that says there's that big con, that one con, you know, and is he willing to do it?
Nature.
Yeah, and it's
yeah.
like, so I totally was, when that episode came up, and I didn't know how they would resolve it, loved how they did it, where he basically said, you know, I'm not going to take the file, you know, I have nothing to do with this, you blackmailed me. And the fact that they let Burke see that, I was like, thank God. But they had to have that. And I'm just waiting for the next one. I'm like, there's got to be, give us a couple episodes of, you know, bad con of the week, and then do this again. You know, what's going to be the next one where we have to question, will he or won't he?
But so. You can't question their friendship, though.
No, and that's what saves it. That's what always brings it back to they're on equal standing again. And that's why Peter puts all of that, his job and his everything on the line for him because of that. So, and I think they played it really well in this one because he really was put in a corner. But and Neil did it. He went through with the heist, so he has proven to himself that man, he still got it. You know?
See, he could have just as easily also come to Peter with
yeah, exactly.
He very easily could have done it and suffice
well,
saying,
but
what
no,
should we do?
But as Peter said, you know, Neil has a harder time trusting people because of what he has done for a career versus Peter, who's a cop who wants to instinctively
yeah,
trust
but the
them.
Thing is,
but he
so
brings
Peter,
it, he
but
brings
Neil
it
says,
to him most of the time.
Neil said at the end, and he admitted, he's like, dude. She set it up perfectly. You know, you saw me outside with my anklet. You saw me casing the place. She put my DNA is going to be there. He's like, would you have believed me? And so Peter didn't just automatically say no. He just said, well, you know, you should have given me the chance. So right. That gave Neil a doubt, you know.
But the thing is, I really think that Peter would have believed him.
Well, we know he would have because we
Well, the thing is, Neil has to give Peter the chance to take that leap of faith.
Exactly. Right. But that he can't do that right now because I want there to be a couple more seasons, you know. So there always has to be this potential out where Neil could go off, you know, off the scale. And again, always get herded back to the fold because that's what Peter has done for him over time, you know. Because there was the one episode, again, seeing all these episodes as I have, the one from second season, where Neil's in the hospital. It's the guys who have like the stolen kidneys and stuff or whatever that was. But then he's in the hospital and he's been drugged. And so he's like kind of loopy. And he tells Peter, he's like, you know what? Before I go back, because they're totally going to nail me for this. Before I go back, you're the only one. And Peter's like, the only one what? And Neil's like, you're the only one. Mozzie, who Alex, everybody's like, you're the only one I trust. And that was in a moment of weakness where he was, where he's loopy, he's drugged. So that's the honest truth from him. It's just that he can't admit that when he's not in that state, you know, because he just can't as a con. So I like the fact that there's, even though we see it as an audience, like, come on, you guys, you both totally trust each other. You're bros. Yeah, you're bros. But they have to constantly feed us that little bit of line so that there's that hope.
I don't need it. I personally don't need it. I like the trust.
I think it would get really kind of stale.
I don't think so, because I like the ones where they did stuff like where it was all, remember it was the, what's Peter's last name? Burke. The Burke 8 or whatever, where he came up with the con and they all... Awesome. That was an awesome episode.
But you can't do that every week.
You can't, but I'm saying you can do stuff like that. I don't need there to be that much tension between them.
I do. I want there to be that little bit of...
Well, and that's why sometimes they throw in...
I think the tension is what keeps this series interesting.
Me too.
Because kind of like with the romantic comedy or, you know, I'm Mad About You, reasons why it works so well is, yes, they're in love, but there's still tension in the relationship. Just because you're married doesn't mean you don't have any problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I guess I just want them
to... Well, and that's why they throw in occasionally the other two FBI agents and stuff like that, because they have, you know, they're one tier down with Neil. You know, they like him and everything like that.
But they don't
trust him as much.
Yeah. Which is why I think...
also with Mozzie and Peter does the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the suit.
Yeah.
Yes, the suit. He does. But he likes Mrs. Suit.
He does. He likes
Mrs. Absolutely. Suit, but he's not too hot on Peter.
No.
No. Okay. All right, let's move on. Next up is Rizzoli and Isles, and we had two episodes.
Yes.
What'd you think?
I like this show. I'm glad you turned me on to it. I mean, it's about the relationships between these two women, and their mutual circle of friends. I was a little disappointed in the reveal of the killer in the mid-season finale. I thought that was way too predictable.
Yeah. Who was the killer? I don't even remember.
Eddie Cibrian.
It was her boyfriend.
Oh, that's because I saw that like a mile away. I was like, because it was
I thought it was very predictable.
Yeah. It's like, okay, he mysteriously just reappears at the same time the serial killer just mysteriously reappears, who's been gone from this...
Everywhere he's been, there have been deaths.
Yeah, it's like, I've been on a book tour, and these murders have been all over the country. Like, of course it's this guy. And he was too pretty. You know, you can't... And my other issue was...
Did you say he was too pretty?
Oh, he was really pretty. He was prettier than all the women.
Yes.
He was prettier than all the women. And they kept making comments about that. They were like, anybody who takes that much care grooming himself, you know, you can't trust him. Okay. But the thing is that Isles was all like, well, I'm not going to talk to him. He didn't call me for months, whatever. And then, like 5 seconds later, he's like, oh, I have to go to his opening. And I was like, what just happened?
He's so pretty.
Well, he is, but still, obviously serial killer. So,
and what is it about the two of them and being like moth, or you know, flames to the moth of a serial killer? Because obviously Rizzoli has had her own
serial killer guy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
She had that guy was scary though.
Oh, that guy was.
This guy, not as scary. I mean, granted, he cuts your arms off and puts you in a statue. Okay, sure.
Yeah. I know the logic once when he snapped and everything like that. I'm like going. Okay, I get that it's supposed to be unpredictable and stuff like that, but you know, I didn't get to go to all these places with my mommy, and I'm like,
really?
You're what? How old?
Yeah, I know, that just seems silly.
Yeah, but it's just an excuse. Sometimes it feels like some of the crimes they're solving are just an excuse for them to go out and be buddy cops together.
Right. And some of the cases are good, some of them are not, but it's really about the family, and they introduce this new cop chick. who they
who was the druggie from a few episodes
you
before.
Find out she's undercover. And she's like, well, if you're undercover, why are you going to date two cops that you screw over? She's like, well, I liked them. Like, really? Okay, so you date them both and then screw them over, and now you think they're going to date you? Really? That's no.
Yeah.
Anyway, though I do think that the police chief's message to Rizzoli was kind of a cryptic thing about her brother, because he basically said, you're the best Rizzoli detective that the city's ever going to see. So she's like, does that mean he's never going to make my brother a detective? And I was like, that might be.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think her brother's that smart, so he's okay.
Poor Frankie.
Yeah, well, the younger brother's the idiot, though, the family.
Yeah, the other
one. Oh my gosh, how stupid is he?
Yeah. they like, ran out of brain genes by the time it got to him, so I don't know what's going on with him. But I like the show.
He takes after the father.
Obviously, because he's an idiot.
Although he does play chess.
But the baby, the finale ends with the crazy woman dropping the baby off for them. Because yeah. It's either their brother or their nephew. So,
good heavens, yeah.
They're related to this child in some way.
Unless, of course, there was somebody else and she's just not telling him about it.
But I didn't get that impression. Yeah. I really got the impression that it's or the other.
And she's obviously really stupid, but she's really... I mean,
she's manipulative.
Manipulative. I'm like, she's smarter than she's letting on. She plays victim really well.
Too well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think she's smart enough to realize she wasn't prepared to raise a child by herself.
Oh, clearly not. I mean, look at her own mother.
All right, so dumping her off on them is going to be interesting. So now the buddy cop have a baby.
Two cops, and a baby.
Hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Coming soon on Rizzoli and Isles.
All right, next up.
And last one.
Yeah, next up, let's talk about Suits.
Oh, yay!
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Election awesome. Is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Man, I have to say, what is his name? Lewis.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of
lit
the park.
Up.
Oh, he did. Absolutely.
Lit it up.
He lit it up.
There you go.
Lewis lit.
Okay,
lit it up.
So, I went through the effort of going back and checking the last... two episodes, because I'm like, okay, because I want to remember what happened when. So the one that really caught me was, I think, the first one after you left, Libya, for vacation, was I was sitting there, like, with my mouth open, like, for the last half of it. It was the one where they did the mock trial.
Oh!
I mean, seriously, yeah. Guys, yeah. Holy crap. And that whole thing when you know, Lit came in, you know, Lewis went in, and he was going to do his bit as Trevor, and they
brought
Donna in.
And he threw away the scripts.
Oh, and Donna came in, and she left, and then the confrontation in the bathroom between Harvey and Lewis, where I thought Harvey was going to rail into Lewis,
and
Lewis
railed
turned it around
him, yeah.
And went, dude, this is all about
you.
This is everybody saving your ass, and I didn't want to have to ever do this, and don't you ever make me do this again.
It was awesome.
Oh, so
well, and then of course, when he first sees Donna the first time,
yeah.
Again, when she's
yeah.
back and stuff like that, so it dovetails beautifully with
him. Yeah.
The fact that he's always had a crush on her. It's
yeah.
It's very clear and stuff like that. And for once, he's just
puts
honest,
it out
honest you know, to her and everything. I was like, wow.
He was
so
like,
dumb.
I don't have the words. She's like, find them.
Yeah.
And he...
he does. Yeah. He steps up.
And he was like, and he's like, is that it? She's like, yeah, we're good. She's like, and I got you this.
He's like, yeah,
right. Because
like,
he doesn't
okay.
believe someone can be done with a problem. He doesn't,
yeah.
you know, it's
he
like,
doesn't
he
believe I'm
him.
Sorry is enough.
Because it wouldn't be for him.
Well, because
yeah.
he's been treated like crap
yes.
for so long.
Exactly. And that's perfect for dovetail for the recent episode where I've spent the whole episode just going, oh, I hate Lewis. Oh, I feel bad for Lewis. Oh, I hate Lewis. Oh, I feel bad for Lewis. Because you could see him completely being played
by
both
sides
and
everybody.
By her. And I honestly started to feel about a third, you know, two-thirds of the way go. I'm like, dude, I don't even know who to trust if you. And I know it should be, you know, it should be these guys. But, you know, but of course he's going to feel like that because he's been completely...
Yeah. And the thing is,
everybody.
He knows he's being used.
Yeah.
Well, and
yep.
it, you know, from my logical standpoint, it shouldn't be about... who's treating him how. It should be about who's the person who stole from the company
yep.
that you work for,
yep.
framed a coworker who happens to be you,
who,
but it
yeah.
could have been anyone in the company.
If they chose you.
Slept yep. with another coworker
yep.
mm-hmm.
while his wife was dying from cancer. I'm like
yeah.
going, so who cares how
well,
he treats you or how these other people
treat
you.
How they treat you now.
Right.
This person's actions...
Speak louder.
They do, but Lewis is
not to be trusted.
Exactly. And Lewis is thinking about himself, and he feels hurt and put upon because he feels, and he said it how many times, he puts in just as much effort and time into it. He's slimy scum, sure, but he's a good lawyer. He does his job.
Yeah.
And he's like, mm-hmm. okay, people, I'm not sharp and clean and awesome like Harvey, but he does his work too, and yet he doesn't get that respect, and that's what he's fighting for. So near the end of the episode where she was like, okay, what should we give him? What bone should we give him? And Harvey's like, give him my office. And she goes in there to do it. And the table's
turned. She can't do it.
Because he just is, he's like,
is
it's
he such
so,
a jerk?
Yeah.
Well, I think,
so
and also, bitter. That's the other thing that Harvey said. Harvey said his anger is deep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's
exactly.
like, his anger is deep, and you're going to have to dig to get out of it. But the problem is, Jessica, as much as she gives Harvey a crap about his ego, Jessica has
her pride is out the door.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She's got just as big of an ego.
But well, we also have, was it a couple weeks ago when we had the episode where you see them 5 years
the pastor,
previously,
I was gonna say, there's the
and
episode.
You see the fact that he's got a relationship, Harvey's got a relationship with his father, and of course his father dies at the end,
oh,
and he's
I
been
know.
Ignoring him,
yeah.
and now you see the exact same thing with Mike
yeah.
and the
right.
grandmother, and I'm just like,
oh, yeah,
I mean,
no.
that was heartbreaking.
Right.
You know, and wow.
Well, but it's, I think, I mean, because that you see that it just shows that those two characters, again, moving forward,
they are going to be the same person.
Absolutely. They're going to have so much more in common that they already do. But it just, the whole diabolical feel of it, you know, in this build, I want to know what's going to happen in the board meeting.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
Because
like,
I love how he said, you know, here's my.
How fine did Rachel look in that white dress in Mike's new apartment?
I know. Or when Donna came back, all I could do was see that cleavage slit. I'm like, hello, could that get any lower?
Jessica has, you know, and then she puts her jacket on. Spike the moment she's got her jacket off. I'm like, okay, what is this all about? Power women and tight pencil skirts.
Well, Jessica can wear anything.
Jessica can wear anything she wants.
Sorry, she's hot.
But the thing is, they did. I like they had that Lewis was coming one way doing his little dance,
uh-huh.
and then
and
Donna's coming
in
doing her little yep. hair flip and dance yep. to the same. That was just really nice.
That was cute.
Because
it was
they
cute.
Both had their reasons. He thought he was moving up. She thought you know she was coming back, and you knew.
And
one
I
of
love
them
she
was
how smart
shot.
She is. She's sitting there looking at a suit, and she's like, "Holy!" I love how she knows. Everything.
That's how she figures everything out.
And that, which is, you know, and if Jessica had any doubts that she should be there,
that was it.
That silenced it.
Yeah.
Thumbs way up.
Okay.
All right. If you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And you can listen to us on KryptonRadio.com, on Get the Point Radio, Weedonopolis, iTunes. And talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.